Hey, everybody. Thank you for coming out to a database and lexicon talk on a Saturday morning. We appreciate that. There are a lot of spreadsheets and data. We'll try to make it exciting for you. Charlie already has, so. I'm going to talk through at least my experience and how I ended up coming to this project. At the end, we're going to have some time for you guys to actually give us feedback, because that's why we're here. We've been trying to go around through the different communities asking for help and feedback, because clearly this is affecting so many of us. My name is Isabel. I'm at the Denver Art Museum now. I've only been there for a little over a year. Before that, pretty much my career has been as a collections manager and NAGPRA coordinator. So I spent a lot of time searching databases for things, for research requests, to try and do moves, get a handle on our materials. And I think those of you that have done that often know how much time that takes when you're trying to build those queries. I've also spent time trying to figure out how best to incorporate a lot of the community feedback that we get when we have visits and researchers come in. So that's part of what we're trying to tackle as well, is that there's all these little, I think that's all those little unique lexicon that are out there have evolved over time to incorporate other knowledge, but that's not really being disseminated. So really what we're here is we're interested in developing a really cross-disciplinary approach to this, because I think part of the problem has been that it has always been so siloed with everybody's experience and type of institution and the perception that we're all separate, even though really we all work with people stuff in some way, whether it's old people stuff to new people stuff. So we're trying to bridge that gap as well. In my previous life before DAM, I was at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, and so I'm going to give you just a brief. We went through a data migration, which is when I spent way too much time trying to make a database work properly. I think I had already given up on the lexicon at some point after I was there for a few years. There's about 87,000 records in the database at the time that we were doing this work, which was around 2011. I think everybody's lexicon, it had grown over time. It was kind of based off Chennault. And then people have added stuff, and there really was very little control over the staff and volunteers and how they were adding stuff. And it was a shared lexicon with zoology and earth science and education, and it was very open. So trying to clean through a lot of that was challenging, because we had to share the system. I gave up on trying to clean it, because it just felt so overwhelming. But part of that was because we had this opportunity that we were building the new collections facility, and the collections team decided that we were going to do a migration into a new database. I think we hadn't had enough coffee that day, but we decided that was a smart move. And it turned out to be, it gave us a deadline that we wanted to have the new database in place for the move, because we thought it would make it easier. it was just challenging. At the time, Argus was not being supported anymore, so we had about 6 months to decide what we needed to do. So we went with KEMU, and that gave me the opportunity to just load a clean lexicon, which I thought would be wonderful, and then we could just link the terms that we needed to, et cetera. So at that point, I then looked around to see if there were other institutions or entities that could help. Who am I going to use as a standard? And I really couldn't find too many, but I had decided that I was going to start with the culture groups instead of the object names, that Charlie was specifically focusing on that part of his experience with it. I'm going to talk about the cultural group side, because I felt like that's what I spent the most time trying to find, the groupings of things together under 10 different names. And for my purposes, NMAI also was an EMU user, and so I was able to ask them questions. And they also offered to send me their lists, which I thought was fabulous, because it was going to save me a lot of time, and it would just be loaded automatically into EMU when we went live. They do have an online reference list. If you guys aren't familiar with it, you can go to their website. And they have a reference list area, and it has objects and culture groups and all sorts of different reference lists for you. I don't know how they have been updating it since when I last looked at it in 2012, but the point of it was that they had actually worked through their collection. They had collaborated with groups in the Americas to update their terms, and to me that was just a huge part of this, that we wanted to really address the 100-some years of just poor documentation or just misspelling and changes. So now in my case, I actually needed to tackle all the cultures, but I thought if I start with the Americas, then I can build from there. It ended up being that I couldn't do the same setup for each continent, which is a separate part of the conversation of how we will move forward from here and how do we decide on how to organize what we're doing. But anyway, so here's NMAI. They sent me their spreadsheet. I don't expect you guys to be able to read this. This is just visual. But you can see how it's hierarchically staged. You start with North America and you go down from there. Sometimes including, you can see that sometimes things are italicized, sometimes they're in parentheses, sometimes they're highlighted. And that all had to do with how the data was going to be, had been ingested into EMU and how they were handling things like alternate terms or preferred terms or invalid terms. So for example, this they had further breakouts of, well, now we're going to use this term for Zuni in parentheses as a Shiwi, but we have all these other previously invalid terms that are in our documentation that we somehow have to still maintain, you know, just for historical purposes, et cetera. So again, this for everything. So if you can imagine how many culture groups there are out there, there are a lot. And each system, too, to keep in mind, each system, each collections management system handles alternate terms and preferred terms and invalid, all that differently. So it really is a huge part of the technological challenge of what we're trying to address is how to do something that really will work within a variety of platforms. In the end, I decided to not do the NMAI system. It was too quirky. It had their terms. It had their history. And it was going to take more time for me to go through their stuff and change it to ours than to just start from our side. So I exported out our material. We checked it for what we were actually using and then went back in and added the terms that needed to be updated off of the NMAI lists that, again, those were ones that had been updated in collaboration, was my understanding. And at DMNS, I had very minimal curatorial input to this, so I really was doing this on top of the other the baseline work that we're all doing. So I really wanted to do this, and I had to do it in about a year. So I thought, I'll just build this, have a good skeleton, put it in, and then we'll be able to work from it from there. But I did end up doing the old term in parentheses, new term before that. I wanted to be able, because this is one of the issues, is that we have a wide range of users, right? And so we have people who are not necessarily going to know that quackutle is now quack, 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 right? And so you need to be able to have volunteers and your researchers and your staff and whomever is working with your system, both internally and externally, once you get your material out online, for, you know, for the artists themselves to be able to search for their material or for their peers, et cetera. And so you really, at least from my perspective, you want to have a system that encompasses all of those experiences so that when you ask your volunteer to go look for something, they don't look at you funny because you said a word they've never heard before. It would be nice if they learned over time, but we all know that that's not necessarily going to happen right away. So let's see. So I ended up, this is a screenshot of the list that I ended up generating. I was able to finish this. it was literally December 31st was my last day, and I loaded all of our thesauri at about 4 o'clock that afternoon, and then I went home. And the collections manager who took over for me afterwards, Melissa, has just been continuing the cleanup because EMU was only live for maybe 2 months. And that still had functionality issues. So it's an ongoing project, but it's still, it's silly that I spent so much work on something that really is so specific to one organization, really. I can share it with people, but whether or not this is something, and I think this is part of that question of do people want to share things? It's like, I'm happy to share, but I don't know if it will be relevant to your collections and what you have and how things have been entered into your systems. So now I'm at the Denver Art Museum. I've changed disciplines essentially, but still, we have a Native Arts collection. Guess what? Same terms. They're just described differently. The two kinds of institutions, again, live in these two little silos, but we overlap in our collections. And the need to describe them, we have about a 51,000 lexicon records in our system right now. They have not been cleaned. It's the same beast. They went through a migration at the end of 2013 into New Argus, and they brought their old lexicon straight over with them, which is lovely, but it's a mess. And I was a little upset because I thought, am I going to have to start doing this all over again? I don't want to do this all over again. And that's when we ended up having the conversation on the listserv of there has to be a better way. Like, there just has to be a better way. If all of us are in this situation, just making it up as we go, trying to, because we're trying to get our projects done, right? We're trying to get our exhibitions done and our grants completed, and so it's hard to tackle these things. So that's when we decided that a group of us coming together would really facilitate that. So just to kind of go through some of the things that we have talked about over 8 months? I guess it's been about 8 months that we've been talking about this. And again, so these are just the highlights of, so how are we going to try and address the individual quirks that everybody has? Somehow, while still kind of figuring out what is that, what we would consider to be a valid, updated, contemporary term that is what people would like to use, would like us to use as museums. Or we're also talking about, community museums and their input and what they would like to use for themselves. And have it be something that when some researchers or users in general go out into the internet world and do searches, they will get some kind of consistency in what they're looking for and what they're getting back, so they don't have wonderful lists like Charlie was finding. So that's part of the collaboration, too, is that a lot of us, if we've done that kind of work, you know how much time it takes to ask questions and get the feedback, and then you have to implement it in your system somehow and train your staff on how to do it properly. But again, that would be nice if we actually had a standard way to do that. And how to incorporate the archaeological components too in terms of time frame. But again, it's a continuum. We have culture, and it's old and new. The thing with the geography, locality, what I was finding that I had problems with was, depending on the resources that I was using, I was either able to do things like regional, maybe more culturally specific grouping of things, of groups. But then I got to a point where it became so, and part of this is because it's not my area of expertise. So, my area of expertise is in organizing and taking care of collections, not in, say, like African culture, which is huge, which is massive. And so, unfortunately, with some of the other cultural groups, I just had to be brief. And in that case, I actually did do geopolitical lines, which we know are not always appropriate. But I documented everything, right? Because that's the important thing. As long as you document and then you hand it to your successor, or you put it in a really obvious place on your desk when you leave, and you tell everybody that that's why you did that, then they'll at least know that you weren't just making stuff up or crazy. But it's not ideal. So we want to try and look at the differences between culture groups and object names, and also just take into account all those technology bits of the different databases and whether some people's databases or server systems can't handle special characters or accents and things like that. But clearly we want to be able to handle things like that, especially with object names and in general. We need to be broader about that. So this is kind of where we are. We're aiming to try and find way to do this. We keep laughing because we know, as we've looked in the history of this, this is a topic that comes up about every 20 or 30 years in our discipline, literally.
Yeah.
About every 20 or 30 years, somebody stands up here and says, we really need to do something about this. And then there's some conversations, and I think some defeated people kind of disappear back into their offices. So we're here again. And we're really, really hoping. And we're hoping, I think, now with internet and maybe with a little more technological understanding of what can happen, that maybe we can make this work. But we do want to have something that's easily accessible. I mean, maybe like the Getty, the way that you're able to just get online and look at something. We are not here to say this is what we're doing. We are here to ask for you guys to help us and for feedback and to just give us ideas about things that we may have missed as well. But this is just more the idea of what we think would be great. Easily accessible, how to handle all those historical terms in a way that we honor each institution's needs for maintaining that information, but also updating the terms so that we really all are working correctly. And also helping, the smaller institutions that maybe don't have the time and resources to do this level of work, and yet they'll be able to go somewhere and profit from other people's knowledge, which is huge. I mean, if we pool everything that we all know, we can really get a lot done. The universality of use was, again, just referring to, we really want anybody who goes into our system, any of our staff, any of the public users to be able to easily find what they're looking for. And we do not want to start from scratch. We don't. We know that there is a lot of work that has gone into this. So I think what we're trying to find is a way to do this where we combine, or we look at a way to just work with what's already been done, hopefully. Because we know that there's whole teams of people, at the Getty, and they're working on this already. Now, Charlie mentioned this already, but we're currently, we have our task force. I'll show you our webpage in a minute. And we're gathering examples that we just asked people to share with us. And we've been holding on to those, but I don't think we haven't looked too much, because it's a little depressing when you start seeing just how many different things there are. And we're asking for help. So we do have a pad of paper. If you would like to add your name, we will put you on our mailing list. And so this is our last. We've been going around to talk like this to different groups to try and get this kind of feedback. This is our last kind of informational presentation. And then from here, we're looking to pretty much solidify the team as far as looking at maybe getting 10 core members with the 40-some support volunteers to really help us work on this stuff and then start working. Somehow, we're going to figure this out. And so, I mean, we have a combination of folks on our team so far that, we've got anthropology, we've got education, we've got technology, we've got database, we've got some community collaborative database experience. We've got a wide range, and that was really our intent, was to bring people in and from the art museums as well, and just bring different voices together so we make sure that we address all these. And part of it, we're looking to see if we can apply for grants so that it will actually support this work, but right now we are doing it because we love it and we want it to be fixed. But we are hoping to get bigger and get more support. This is our website. Thank you to the RC committee, or the Registrar's Committee for AM. They're hosting us so that there's a place for contact information, and it has the information of the team members and then what we're going to do. So this is going to be at least our portal for now. We're not sure if we need to set up a separate website, but for now, you can go to RCAAM and then go under the task forces, and that's where we are. So this is where you guys get to give us feedback. We have a little over 15 minutes. And if you do have feedback, and if you could come to the mic so that we could actually record these, that would be wonderful. Thank you. So I was just going to walk through these. Oh, do you have, no, go ahead. Go ahead. Have a go.
So is this a lexicon that you're trying to develop specifically for anthropology museums, or is this just an overall for all museums lexicon?
So that's one of our questions on here, because this is one of the things we've been struggling with, is what to call this. Because I think that that's part of the challenge, is that as soon as we call it something, it might feel like other disciplines aren't interested in it. And like I said, this is people stuff. It's people stuff. And so I don't want to call it the people stuff lexicon. I feel like that might be not appropriate. But just I'm trying to repeat that so that there's that understanding. So it's not necessarily our intent to have this be an anthropology-specific lexicon. It is indeed something that, like I said, my collection at the Dam, there's tons of Native art stuff. I mean, it is an anthropology collection. And that's part of the issue, right, is that we have all these terms. That in and of itself, like the lexicon task force is struggling with the lexicon.
Just to follow up, the project could really vary in size if you were trying to include art. I mean, that could be like a whole different lexicon in itself.
Yeah.
This is why I asked.
Correct.
Looking at where the gap is. So we've got the history is pretty well covered, art's pretty well covered. And, you know, when you look at the history of museums and where kind of ethnographic material ended up, there's often these interesting divisions of why things went to art museums. Why did things go to natural history museums? You know, and how, even though those divisions happened, how can you access all of that material from the different museums? Because it's really, I mean, the art museum and the natural history museum may have the same type of object and call it something completely different. They put it in a completely different context. And so this, what we're looking at is some way for the different types of institutions to talk about the same material. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Charlie, you kind of just addressed my question, which is I'm from the Mingay International Museum in San Diego, so we're a folk art design and craft museum. Right. We have a lot of this material, but you know, our mission is we present these things as art objects, but we still need to be accurate about how we're cataloging them and how we're calling them. So that is a really interesting issue to me, is how these different museums that have the same categories of objects but present them differently, how can we bridge those?
Can we work together?
How can we work together and make sure that, you know, even that we're accurate? And
And it's been, I think it was really highlighted for me when I moved from a natural history to an art museum and was looking at the same material and the way, and I understand interpretation and all that's different, but the way it's being described and handled and the fact that, you know, the makers of it want it to be addressed a certain way, no matter where it is, whatever museum, and even though they're making contemporary pieces, the older pieces from their culture group, they also want that to be kind of represented in a certain way. And it's been an odd conversation, like I said, the silos. And for so long, this is how we've worked. And I think there's different missions and there's different, that's a conversation over beer some other time.
Yeah,
that's why we wanted, that's specifically why we wanted to come to all these different places, because we want to talk about this more broadly.
And then part two of my question is kind of related. You mentioned how, you know, special characters showing up, exporting strangely onto websites. And so I've been told by our digitization manager, please don't put things in parentheses because, you know, then it doesn't export correctly. But it's like, right. I'm trying to figure out how to
cover
my bases.
Exactly.
And make sure that,
anyway,
so I'm interested in this in so many different levels. And I'm
really, that'd be fabulous. Thank you. I think that's it. It's like we all... You know, like I said, we run out of time. And then it's, okay, well, what's the best I can do right now to get this done? And then you realize that, well, dang, you know, parentheses don't export. So we have a technology person on board, and that's what we're trying to address, yeah.
I appreciate what you're doing, and I just wanted to mention that, and I'm sounds like you have a lot of experts that you're talking to, but in the part that Charlie's working on and addressed was, you know, defining what, you know, what is this object? What are we going to call it? Or, I mean, I feel like coming together and figuring that out, although it's complicated, is not the big can of worms that you addressed as far as what culture is this and how that changed over time. And I feel like with my collection, which is an assorted, wonderful collection of things, sometimes, not always, but it's, I need the experts, I need the curators so much to help me define how, what do I call this? How can I call it this or that? And then once I get that, it's okay, but I need them a great deal. So I'm wondering, are you pulling those people in? And that's where I'm wondering, joining forces with experts in those particular areas.
Correct.
Yeah.
No. Yes. Because, like I said, I mean, we're coming at this as museum professionals, not content area experts. And I think that's the difference that I've always felt as a collections person. But
right. And you know, at the especially at the curation level, you often have very specific specializations. So like at my museum, we don't have any ethnographic curation staff, and so and we did, but their specialty was very defined to local Minnesota culture. So we got a lot of great input and a lot of great information about that. So how do we share that with a museum in Florida that has collections from Minnesota, so that they don't need to have on staff or directly consult with someone who's a subject matter expert in that area? How can each institution that maybe is gleaning that information, how can that be shared with other institutions? Because we know these collections are not held just locally, they're spread geographically. If we're talking specifically right now about Native American material. So how can that really be shared, like what you're talking about?
And I think that's part, at least in my mind, when I visualize some of how we can do this, is the Getty model, in that they're online. And so whatever we'd be working on would be something that would be easily accessible online. So we can share, we can send that out to someone that we felt, okay, can you help us with this? Can you insert information and then have it work that way? So exactly, it's so the same, you know, the same thing's not being done over and over again in 50 different museums. It's, I mean, we can vet things and clean them, but.
Mm-hmm. But to me, a big thing too is transparency. When I was looking into using nomenclature, I tried to contact nomenclature authors and, you know, asked in person what process does ethnographic material go through? Who are the references that you're using? Who are the people that are maybe checking for cultural sensitivity and things? Because that's, to me, not transparent in their material, of which I didn't really get an answer. They don't actually have an ethnographic subject matter expert on there as one of the authors, and so, which was kind of surprising to me. So part of what I'd like to see, and what's especially interesting to me, is how do you document where the information is coming from? So, like, if I look back in the history of my museum records and I see this was identified as a certain thing, I don't know who said that or why, and is that really a reliable source of information? So how can we build this information and also say, okay, this is a term that was consulted, it was so-and-so said this because of this, and it's up for, like, argument, it's up for discussion, but here's why. And just really transparent.
And I will touch back on, because I actually have a really good example of the object issue from my side of, we had the Zuni delegation came through, and they actually went through and updated a lot of the terms that we had. And I went in and I made a new term for what their kachinas are not called kachinas, which is what we're used to calling them as a broad category. They call them koko, and I added that, but you know, my volunteers aren't going to remember to look up under koko for Zuni carved figures. So part of the discussion we've been having, too, is it is also trying to open up this discussion for more specific cultural information, even on at the object level, but also documenting where it comes from, because I always, at some point, I realized that I would have a couple of representatives from a group come in and tell me that something was a certain something, and I would capture that, and I would say who told me and when, and then 2 months later, I'd have three more representatives from the same group come in and tell me it was something completely different, had to be handled a different way, and I was like, okay, thank you, and I typed it in, and I put the date, and I moved on, and that's just, I mean, that's just part of dealing with, I think that's part of this, is we're trying to standardize something that is human and is really difficult to standardize because, look, we're all different. And so that's the balance we're trying to strike of how do we use something that is a database and a technology and a something that has to be, quote-unquote, in our minds anyway, standard so that you can actually make it work for you and do what you need. But you're trying to capture information that is so varied. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that we do have to tackle, is that it's not necessarily, we don't know, this is what's open. We don't, you know, is there one term and one term only and that's it, and who gets to decide that?
Mm-hmm. And it's a unique, I mean, with some other disciplines, it's like when you're working with, say, paleontology, it's like dinosaurs don't care what you call them. Like, they don't, you can call them whatever you want as long as you all agree, but in this situation, you're assigning names to things that people have strong feelings about, and so it adds a different element.
So were there, I know we've got like 5 more minutes, are there any other thoughts, feedback, comments? Part of it really is we aren't sure what to call ourselves. We started, the ethnographic lexicon was just because that's how we kind of started this conversation, mm-hmm. and it makes it a little more obvious what we're going to talk about when we come to these things. But
does
any
anyone
feedback?
Have thoughts on the word anthropology?
I think from any art museum perspective, yeah. We're just going to say, not for us.
Mm-hmm.
What about material culture?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good to try to work with material culture. Yeah.
But that's what, I mean, send us these, tell mm-hmm. us, we're essentially just compiling thoughts. And this, yeah, the feedback of the baggage that comes with each of our disciplinary names is really challenging, mm-hmm. Especially when what we're trying to do is be broader and more inclusive, but still descriptive.
Mm-hmm.
There's history with all this stuff. Like Charlie said, people, we have emotions, yeah.
You said that when you did your survey, only 9 people were willing to share.
Right.
Did you get any other information about, you know, was it that they just didn't have time to share, they weren't getting organizational support, about proprietary information? Did you get any feedback about why they're seeing it as such a protected?
Kind of our next step is the people who were willing to give their contact information, we're developing a deeper set of questions for those people that are willing to have longer conversations with us about. So say we have like 30 of those, and I don't know which of those overlap with who's willing to share, to try to figure out why. I mean, in some discussions, we've had some ideas of like maybe people, their stuff is dirty and they don't want to show it, and they're like, it's a mess. You know, and they're embarrassed. They don't feel like it's worthy of sharing, or also they are worried about using inappropriate terms. They're worried about about doing something that's maybe not culturally sensitive, because they just don't know. And so I feel like in this area in particular, people are really close and more closed with what they're calling things, down to even the information that they have. I feel like there's a history of institutions not really wanting to publicize out there the ethnographic material that they have or the archaeological material due to, you know, our history of NAGPRA, and are we going to have to give everything away? You know, all of these kinds of, like, funny fears. So, yeah, I don't know what the big thing is. What if there's one particular reason or it's should be interesting.
Yeah, I would venture to, just from what I've seen over the years, that if unless someone's able to look through those and kind of vet them, and then they, you know, all of us, right, don't want to put it out on the web until it's been checked, and who has the time?
We also can't, I mean, Rediscover, you physically cannot export your authority table or your lexicon. You have to, like, I have to maintain a simultaneous Excel spreadsheet that I hope gets updated exactly the same as the one in Rediscovery. Otherwise, I can't have, like, a nice, pretty, like, thing to look things up. So it's really difficult to physically, I don't know if that's part of the case, too. They don't know how, or they can't physically easily export that information. Interesting, though.
So is that, I know, it's lunchtime.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.